Good morning. Oh, we're going to get started here. It's good to see you all this morning. And, what's going on? I see you. Yeah, there you go. All you got to do is talk, right? I'm going to go over a few announcements with you. Today is our 30 pieces of silver offering. And some of you may say, well, what is that exactly? Well, once a year here at Waldo Baptist Church, we take up our 30 pieces of silver offering. And yes, we know that that's what Judas betrayed Jesus with, was with 30 pieces of silver. But here at Waldo, we do just the opposite. We don't want to betray Jesus, of course, in no way. We want to honor Jesus with the gifts that God's given us and how He's blessed us in so many ways. And so the offering that you will give this morning, if you want to give to the 30 pieces of silver, just mark it 30 pieces of silver at the bottom, and they will separate that. That offering will be given to our new children's facility that will be next to our Family Life building. I can't even talk. Family Life building. And so that offering will go to that building. So if you wanted, some people have asked, we're only going to take up one offering. Okay, so if you want, it's over and above your regular tithes and offerings. And so just mark in the memo 30 pieces of silver. That way, when they count it, they know what's going toward that special offering as well. And our kids here in just a moment are going to come in. And Kenny's been teaching them about giving too. And so they're gonna march through here, and they're gonna put it in this bucket. And he's teaching them the importance of honoring God with what God has blessed us with. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to see that. So let me just go over a few announcements with you, and then we'll have the kids come in and give. Before you open your Bible, small group study will not meet over the next two Sundays. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. We will only have one worship service at 10 a.m. The Lord's Supper will be served during this service. We will not have an 8 a.m. service, Sunday school, or evening services. Next Sunday, we'll conclude our annual collection for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. If you'd like to make a contribution, please use the designated envelope found at the welcome desk and place your gift in the regular offering plate. Registration is now open for Ocean Commotion BBS. Simply scan the QR code in today's bulletin or found posted throughout the Family Life Center to sign up as a student or a volunteer. The WBC Pastor Search Committee continues to ask for your input as to what type of characteristics you would like to see in your new senior pastor. The committee members are listed in today's bulletin. A community-wide Easter sunrise service will be held at the Paducah Riverfront next Sunday, 5:30 to 7:30 a.m. This is the interdenominational worship service hosted by Lindsay Funeral Home. Details are available on the bulletin board in the main entrance. There will be a business meeting on Wednesday, April the 3rd at 6:30 p.m. So I wanted to go over a few of those announcements with you. Right now, we're going to ask the kids to come in. And they're going to give of their 30 pieces of silver to go toward the children's office. This is Brother Kenny. He is our children's pastor. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Hey, is Jolene here? Jolene, you here? Julian? Where you at? Hey, come here just a minute real quick, okay? Jump. Don't jump. Yeah, come down. Just for a second. Just for a second. You had no idea I was doing this, but come on up here just real quick. We're gonna vote on you for baptism here in just a minute. So I've watched. Come on, right over here. Is it you? It's Julene, and so she gave her life to Jesus Christ at Disciple Now Weekend, and she, yeah, give the Lord a hand, amen. And so she wants to follow in believers' baptism at the end of the service. So if we have a motion for this, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor, raise your right hand, say amen real loud,
amen.
And give the Lord a hand, amen. All right, you can be seated. Hey, whenever we get... Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we get ready to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you once again for this awesome privilege and honor to be able to stand before you and to be able to stand before your people and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we are fixing to enter a week that changed the world. Father, it's this week in history that we always refer to, we always go to, because we know that, Father, we couldn't come to you if it weren't for the cross. And so, Father, we want to today proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and what you did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. So remind us, Lord. And for those who don't know Christ, I pray that today you would open up their hearts, their eyes, their minds, their ears to see the beauty of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.
This is from Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. My heart hangs on every word that you speak. I need you, Lord, come find me. Holy Spirit, breathe. I've been walking through deserts. I need more of your presence. I'm weak. Savior, be my strength. Down in the valley, when waters rise, I'm still believing. Hope is alive. All through the struggle and darkest day, I'll remain. Your hand, healing what's broken, my prayer, Father, meet me. My life, for all of your glory, your grace, let it surround me, let faith change the atmosphere. Down in the valley, when waters rise, I'm still believing. Alive. All through the struggle and darkest day, I'll remember the empty grave. Hallelujah, death is done. All of hell is overcome. Jesus, are alive. Hallelujah, death is done. All of hell is overcome. Oh my Jesus, you are alive. I'm still believing. Hope is alive. All through the struggle and darkest day, I'll remember the empty grave. All through the struggle and darkest day, I'll remember. Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed. Oh, wrong key. Let's try that again. Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed. Sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured. My debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. My soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. See, the stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah. My
my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, Alleluia, praise and honor unto thee. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, Alleluia, praise and honor unto thee. Praise and honor unto thee. Praise and honor unto thee. I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, I see a near revival stirring as we pray and see. We're on our knees. We're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Seated. If we can have our ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. And as they were coming, I just want to congratulate the Massac Junior High volleyball team for placing second. Great job. We are proud of you here at Waldo Baptist Church. Well, look at these fine men right here. Ain't they cream of the crop right here? Amen. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the worship service that we just experienced, Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Lord, as we see you coming in riding on a donkey, and they are laying down palm branches, crying out, Hosanna. And just a short little while after that, we will hear the cries, crucify him, crucify him. Lord, let us see today the beauty of the cross. Father, as we take this offering, Father, that you have so blessed us with, that God, you would use it for your honor and your glory. And Father, that it will be used to reach many others with the good news of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we go into the Easter season, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? So he knows our name as he was on that cross. He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. And he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, and I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed, 'cause he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. And he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, and I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Knew who I was when he carried my cross, and he knew that I would fail him, but he took that loss. And he knows my name. Every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry. And he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, and I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Every tear that I cry, and he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, because he knows my name. Every step that I take, and every move that I make, and every tear that I cry.
February of 1995, I preached my first sermon. It would be right here at Waldo Baptist Church. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the excitement along with the fear of preaching my very first sermon. I think I preached for about 8 minutes and then I was done. I had everything that I had prepared to say. I said, I think I might have read most of it. And somewhere on a little cassette, I still have that sermon. I'm afraid to listen to it. I preached a sermon called Faces at Calvary. And it was a sermon that was based upon all the different faces and lives that were surrounded from the time that Jesus was arrested all the way to the time that he was to be crucified. And I want us to see this morning as I preach similar, that same message, some almost going on 30 years later, it is still prevalent, it is still relevant to this very day. I wanted that to be my heartbeat for the rest of my life, the rest of my ministry, because without the cross of Jesus Christ, you and I have nothing. But because of the cross of Jesus Christ, that we have hope, and our hope is in Christ alone. For those who've lost loved ones and that knew Jesus Christ, they are with Him. For those who are walking with Jesus Christ, you're going to be with Him. For those who don't know Him, the good news is you can. And that you can be with Him for ages of the ages, all of eternity. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will be separated forever and ever and ever. And so I wanted to start, and I'm not going to be able to read all of the scripture, but I want you to see the central point of everything that is going to kick off this message comes from Matthew chapter 27. In verse 11 all the way down. Let's stand. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Father, with this short reading of your word, we ask that now through this and through the rest of this chapter, that you will expound our hearing and our seeing and our understanding. Lord, I pray that there's someone here that don't know you. Oh God, that they would. I remember so clearly the day I walked into this church lost. And that same day leave a new person in Christ Jesus. I pray that you grant that. In your name we pray. Amen. There's so much to share with you. I pray that you bear with me as we go through this. But there in the Garden of Gethsemane, it would be that Jesus would go and he would pray and he would get away from his three disciples and he would ask them to stay and to pray. And he would go off and he would speak to the Father, and it would be there that he would ask the Father if there's any other way than to take this cup from him. And we got to see today what that literally meant. If there's any other way, what was he saying? If there's any other way that I don't have to be scourged, if there's any other way that I don't have to go to the cross, if there's any other way that I don't have to feel the pain or the suffering, if there's any other way. I don't think that he was more talking about the physical aspect of it than the emotional aspect of it. And what he was asking the Father, if there's any other way, then let this cup pass from me, this cup of suffering. Then he goes on to say, but not my will be done, but thy will be done. And God come back and literally said that there is no other way except this way. And what he was referring to was the cup of wrath that God was going to pour out on His Son. Jesus knew very well what He was going to. Jesus knew very well what He was fixing to face. And in this cup that I believe that He was speaking of was the cup of separation. I want you to listen very clearly to me. Because for the very first time in all of Jesus, and there wasn't ever a time with Jesus because He's always been, always has been, always will be. There never was a time that He was created and He started. Jesus has always been, God has always been, the Holy Spirit has always been. They're the creator of everything. But for the very first time, because Jesus came to take your sins and my sins upon Himself, it was going to be placed on His back. For the first time, the Father is going to be separate from the Son. They've never been apart. The lashes and the scourging and the cross was minimal compared to the separation that He's fixing to face. And the reason He's going to be separated is because of our sin upon Jesus. Because God is holy and God is righteous. God cannot dwell with sin. And when it came upon Him, God turned His back on His very own Son, and He crushed His Son from the weight of wrath that was meant for us. And that's what He's praying for in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the meantime, there was a guy by the name of Judas Iscariot who's gone off to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And as they were leaving the garden area, there were soldiers that were coming. This was the beginning of the end to the beginning. And it would be here that they would arrest Jesus. We know Peter wanted to put up a good fight and he cut the ear off Malchus, and Jesus reached down and picked up the ear and put it back on him and said, "Don't you know, Peter?" How many times did Peter have to get corrected? He said, "Don't you know, Peter, that I could call a myriad of angels to come to my rescue? But this must happen. There is a purpose in this. There's a purpose as to why I came." Y'all know that Jesus came to die. Jesus was born to die. He was born to be that sacrificial lamb, and it would be there that they would take Jesus away and the disciples would scatter. This is where we would also read the account where Peter was following at a distance, and it would be there that Peter would deny Jesus not once, not twice, but three times before the rooster crowed. But here we have some issues going on because Pilate now has Jesus. And he's questioning Jesus, and in this, Pilate doesn't find any fault in this man. He's questioning him, and he don't understand what is the problem and what's going on here. And so he brings him back, and he says, "I find no basis, I find no fault." And they said, "Away with him." Oh, the hatred. Because he went against everything that they were. Everything that they are. And then Pilate, in his thinking, remembered that he could release to the people one prisoner. It was a custom that they could release one prisoner unto the people. And Pilate was thinking of the very worst, one of the well-noted, one that all of them would know. It'd be kind of, in our day and time, it would be one of the well-noted killers of our time that's in prison on death row, waiting for his time. And he brings about this guy by the name of Barabbas, Bar-Jesus. And he says here, I have Jesus on one side and I've got Barabbas on the other. Who would you like me to release unto you? And he was just waiting for him to say Barabbas. Much to his surprise, he heard come back, release unto us Barabbas. Away with Jesus. But I find no fault in this man. Look what this man has done. He's an insurrectionist. He murdered people. And you want me to release him to you and Jesus, who's done nothing wrong, who is innocent in every way? Away with Jesus. Release unto us Barabbas. You get this picture. As I was thinking about this week, have you ever thought about what Barabbas was thinking at this time? I mean, his life was over as he knew it. He was waiting the cross too. He was waiting the death penalty. He was in the back of the prison. He was guilty as charged. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. He was guilty about it. And now he is maybe getting ready to be set free. Can you believe this? And the Bible says that they released to the people Barabbas. And they charged Jesus. You see, I want us to see here this first face of Barabbas. This first face of Barabbas is us looking into the mirror. Because many of us would say, yes, look what he's done, look what he's done. But this is a picture of us. You and I are guilty as charged, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You and I were on death row. You and I were waiting for our just punishment. And then all of the sudden, the one who is perfect in every way, the one who had not sinned, the one who is righteous, comes in and takes our place. And Barabbas walks away, a free man who was guilty as charged. You and I, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are guilty of all the sin that we've committed. And Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for us. And it's a picture of us and Jesus taking place. You see, we're getting what we don't deserve. We're getting Christ's righteousness. When we put our faith and trust in Him, we get what we don't deserve. Bill, you get Christ's righteousness in your life. And then Christ is getting what we deserve. He's getting the punishment that was meant for each and every one of us. He takes it upon himself and he clothes us as believers with righteousness, and he's fixing to clothe himself with our sin. No longer will we have to offer goats and bulls and pigeons and all this as a sacrifice once a year, but he goes to the cross once and for all. Amen. And this is a beautiful picture. And then all of a sudden, They said, away with Jesus. Crucify him. And then the soldiers come and they get him. And they're thinking that maybe, Pilate's thinking that maybe if I just scourge him, that maybe they will release him then. Now scourging, we have to have an understanding. Scourging literally means to be beaten within 1 inch of your life. It was a process to speed up the act of crucifixion. Because sometimes when they were on the cross, they would literally hang there for days and days and days, and they couldn't hang there for days because the Passover was coming. So therefore, they would beat him within 1 inch of his life, and it was to speed up the act of crucifixion so that he wouldn't hang on the cross long. And so they would have these Roman soldiers, and these Roman soldiers, they wasn't just beginners at this. They were trained at this. And there would be two Roman soldiers, maybe one on each side according to Josephus. They would either tie the prisoner to a pole, or they would tie his hands to his ankles, and then they would whip the prisoner. They would whip Jesus 39 times plus one with a cat of nine tails. And up and down these leather whip and these prongs, there would be fish hook like bone, and there would be metal, and there would be glass that would be embedded and glued inside of this. And these Roman soldiers, they would take their time, and each would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The Bible says in Isaiah, by his stripes you and I are healed. Every lash that he took was meant for us. Every lash that he took was our lash. Historians said, and I don't want to be too gross about this, but as they got tired, they would literally sometimes miss, and it would wrap around the face of the prisoner, and they would yank, and sometimes eyes would come out of the socket. Sometimes the insides would literally fall out after so many times. But I want us to have a picture. Because Isaiah says his visions were so marred that you couldn't even recognize him as a man. We have this picture sometimes in living rooms, or we see it where there's a Jesus up there, and there's this one little crown of thorns and this one trickle of blood that's coming down the side of his face. No! He was a butchered piece of meat. And then they would take him out after he got scourged. They would put a purple robe on him. And they'd put a helmet of thorns, and they'd probably hammer it down with a mallet. And they would mock him. King of the Jews, are you? Well, here's this purple robe. Here's this crown of thorns. And they would literally play a game with him. It was a game that the soldiers would play, and they would move prisoners from one box to the other, and they would mock him as they were doing that. And then he would bring them before, and hopefully that they might let him go, and they said, away with Jesus, crucify him. And it would be there that he would go down the Via Dolorosa. And as he fell from the weight of the cross, historians said that there was sometimes maybe two parts to the cross. There was the bottom part, and then there was the upper part. And he would have to carry the upper part of the cross, and he was so beat that he fell from the weight of the cross. And then all of a sudden, there's this new face that comes from the countryside. Had no clue what he was fixing to get into, no clue what he was fixing to see, no clue what he was fixing to do. This man's name was Simon of Cyrene. The soldiers grabbed Simon of Cyrene and they said, you carry his cross. He's He's probably with his family, has no clue exactly what's going on, and he realizes all of a sudden that this man in front of him is Jesus of Nazareth. And he's carrying the cross with Jesus in front of him. What a great picture of the believer in Christ. That you and I are to carry the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of suffering. The cross of humiliation. The cross of pain. You ever wondered what Simon saw as he walked along behind Jesus and all of the crowds were gathered in as he walked down the Via Dolorosa and they were mocking him and they were spitting on him and he's walking behind him? And then all of a sudden we see this other face come out of the crowd and Jesus sees this woman who is weeping. And Jesus stops. And Simon's listening. And he says, "Woman, don't weep for me. Weep for Jerusalem. Weep for your kids. Weep for your grandkids. Because if they don't know Jesus Christ and they die in that state, they will be forever separated from God. Don't be sympathetic toward me. Be brokenhearted toward them." And that should break all of our hearts. You see, we live in a crossless society. But God has called us to be cross bearers. That you and I are to carry our cross everywhere that we go in hopes that someone else may see the cross of Christ in your life. So many times we see those who are wearing a cross, but it's just an emblem to them. But talking about being a cross bearer everywhere you go. And there are some crosses that still have Jesus on the cross. He's not there. And then all of a sudden, as they're going down the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering, he comes outside the city gate. And he sees a heel, the place of the skull. And it would be there that he would meet up with two other gentlemen. And they too would be carrying a cross. And these two gentlemen are the faces of the thieves. And these thieves would be on either side of Jesus, and they would go up to this place of the skull, and it would be there that they would lay Jesus, and they would lay these thieves down on the cross, and they would nail nails in the hands of our Savior. And I want you to hear the mallet as it hits each nail going into the hands of Christ. You couldn't recognize him. He's in so much pain. Can you imagine his back as it laid out on that rough piece of wood? And they took his feet and they crossed him and they nailed nails in his feet and they lifted that cross up and he thumped at the weight of the cross. And then you would see the two thieves. And I want us to see these thieves for a moment. Because this one thief spoke up and he said, "If you are the Son of God, come down from there and save yourself and us too." Isn't that like just like some that we just want you, God, to save us from this situation? We want you, God, to save us from this circumstance. I've been doing okay until this moment in my life, but now that I'm in trouble, God, I need you. I need you to help me get out of this. I'm in a mess. And sometimes that's what many want, is they want God only when they see they need Him. I want you, God, to get me out of this situation that I put myself in. I want you, God, to rescue me from this circumstance that I put myself in. And many times we want to put God on a shelf until we need Him. Until we don't know what to do. But I want us to see the beauty of the other thief. This other thief, he spoke up to the other thief and he said, "This man has done nothing wrong." He recognized that Jesus is perfect. He realized that he didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, he was saying, "We deserve this. We deserve it because we are guilty." And he is not. He didn't look to Jesus and say, "God, I need to get out of this mess." What he said was, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." I'm not asking you to get me off the cross. I'm just asking you to remember me because I deserve to be here. We deserve to be here. You don't. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Today." Not tomorrow, not next week, but today you will be with me in paradise. I want you to notice what he didn't say to the other thief. He said nothing. But he said to the one thief, who just asked for you to remember me today when you enter into the kingdom, today you will be with me in paradise. Not that y'all will be with me in paradise, but that you will. Can I ask a question? Which side of the cross are you on? Which side of the cross are you on? You see, if a person dies outside of Jesus Christ, you know that Jesus Christ is our refuge. If a person dies outside of Jesus Christ, then they will spend forever and ever and ever and ever in the absence of God, in a place called Gehenna. In a place called hell that would be forever and ever and ever. If there was hope after 10 years, there would be hope. But there is no hope after that. This is something that you and I need to literally think about. And we need to carry our cross with us everywhere we go. Why? Because there are people who don't know Jesus Christ. But through your carrying the cross of Christ, they see Jesus in your life. How dare us live in this society, in a crossless society? God has called us to be cross bearers. Take up your cross and what? Follow me. Isn't that amazing to see the scriptures line up with the scriptures? And Simon is what? What's he doing? He's carrying a cross and what's he doing? He's following Jesus. He's right behind him. He's watching him. And he's carrying the weight with him. And it's painful. And it's exhausting. And it's tiring. But it's worth it. I shared with the church, and I'll share again. For some who's heard it, for some who hasn't, I want to give a small illustration, a very minute illustration. It doesn't even come close to the magnitude of what Christ did for us on the cross. So many preachers on Easter want to preach about the suffering and the death of Christ. But next Sunday, I want to preach about the resurrection of Christ. I want to celebrate with the church that Jesus is not in the grave. He come out of that grave. He's rose again. And next week, we're going to celebrate that. But now, I want us to see this picture. And it's a story that will always impact my life. I remember hearing things, wow, whoa. And it's about a bridge conductor. And he was in charge of a drawbridge that would raise up whenever a ship would come. And he would lower it whenever a train would come. And sometimes the timing had to be precise. Because lives depended on it. Well, this particular day was a different day. Why? Because his young son had to go to work with him because he wasn't feeling well. And as he sat into the shack, he had to go out and he had to raise the drawbridge. Why? Because there was a ship coming. But at the same time, he knew that there was a train coming. But he had just enough time. And as he was raising that bridge, he went to check on his son. And when he went in there, his son wasn't where he was told to stay. And he frantically began to look for him. He knew that the ship was about to pass through. He knew that the train was coming. He didn't have a lot of time, and he's frantically looking for him. He happened to look in the gearbox. And as he saw his son down in that gearbox, that huge gearbox that lifted and raised this bridge, he saw that his son had fallen in the gearbox, and he couldn't save him in time to rescue all those on the train. The passenger train. He had to make a decision to save his son and to kill all those people, or to crush his son and to save all those people. He made a decision to crush his son. As he pushed the button to close the bridge, tears were streaming down his face. And as it closed, about that time, a few minutes later, the train passed. He told that he remembered looking through the glass and seeing everyone in that train laughing, eating, playing games with their families. They had no clue what just happened. Don't you know that I sacrificed my son for you? Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago crushed his very own son for us. All of God's wrath, all of it, this cup was poured out on the Son of God so that you and I could live. How dare us go through life nonchalantly, not looking at and giving recognition to the one who died in our place. To the one who would crush his very own son so that we can have eternal life with him forever and ever and ever. I want you to know something, student. I want you to know something, adult. Don't ever doubt God's love for you. God loved you so much that He would crush His very own son that you could be with Him forever and ever and ever. I beg you to come to Christ. To repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the one who did for you what you could not do for yourself. And I pray that I preach this to the day that God brings me home. Because it was because of this that I am born again. And if you're lost today, there is good news. I know it sounded like bad news, but it was wrapped up in the good news. And the good news is that on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And he is seated at the right-hand side of God the Father right now. And he is calling on you to come to him. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Turn from your sin and turn to the one who took your sin and died in your place that you may be with him forever. Don't wait another minute. Father, oh Lord, I pray now for the one who don't know you. I pray, God, that you will open up their heart to see the beauty of the cross. And Father, all of us have some people, some in our life, loved ones that we have in our life, ones that we care deeply about, that don't know you. How dare us sit in our pews and not fall at the altar pleading for you to intervene in their life? I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know that it's by your goodness, but I am where I am today because a grandmother who prayed for me, who interceded for me. I didn't know the danger I was in or the trouble I was in, but she did. She was calling on you to save me. I miss her. But I know when I enter the gates, she won't be the first that I'll be looking for. Because she'll be pointing me to you again. And I long to see you again one day. Not only just have you indwell me, to look upon the beauty of my risen Savior. So, Father, I pray this morning for us to fall to our knees and pray for those that we love. For that one or two or three that's here that don't know you, that they will step out by faith and say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Let it be a glorious resurrection Sunday. Oh, Father, you work in a way that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
How deep the Father's love for us.
Is there someone you need to pray for this morning?
How vast beyond.
Is there someone in your life that's lost and don't know Christ that you just need to come forward and intercede on their behalf? They don't know the danger they're in.
To make a wretch his treasure.
You call out to the Lord on their behalf.
How great the pain of searing love.
Right now, someone's on your heart. Someone's on your mind. Maybe you're here today and you never accepted Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say yes to Jesus.
Behold the man upon a cross. My sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my heart. It was my sin that held me.
Listen to the words.
Until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know. should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should
be seated. As I check on, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. 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 Let's all stand together. Don't forget, tonight we have Bible study. Jordan's getting ready to come up here and share just briefly with you all. You want him to stand, Jordan? You want him to sit? You can sit just for a minute.
I just want to give you guys a brief update with what's going on with the pastor search committee. Brother Kevin McNichols is our chairman of the committee. He couldn't be here today, but he'll be giving you updates as we have updates to give. But we've met a few times over the past month or so. The position has been posted on the Illinois Baptist Association website and the Southern Baptist website, so it's out there. We received about 15 applicants so far that we're reviewing. We have met with Brother Mark Emerson from the Illinois Baptist Association this past Thursday. He came down and met with us, and he meets with search committees. This is his role in the Baptist Association. He met with 31 last year to help them find their new pastor. He's met with 8 so far this year to help them find their new pastor. So he gave us some things to go over, some suggestions that we do. Right now, what we're asking you guys is to be praying. As a church, we need you guys to be praying for the man that God has for us next. We believe that God is going to call the man that we need to come to Waldo Baptist Church, and it's up to us as a congregation to be praying for him, praying that God would speak to his heart. That's what we need right now, that God speaks to this man's heart and that he leads them to us. So we're going to look for ways to engage with you guys over the next coming months, and we strive to provide you guys updates as things progress. So that's where we are right now.
And And I believe, along with Jordan and the search committee and the church, that God is bringing up that new man. Some people have asked if I'm ever going to come back and visit. No, I'm kidding you. Absolutely. Y'all are my family, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and my family's here. So absolutely, I'll be back here to visit. You're my family. I got to keep an eye on Jack from time to time. So no, but anyway, do pray, because that is the most important thing you can do is pray, and that God will raise up that person to come and fill that pulpit and preach the word of God in power. Amen. Don't forget, tonight at 5:30 we have Bible studies in here. And also, Caleb will have the youth over there, and Kenny will have the children over there. So come back tonight and study the Word of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Yeah, Brother Jack is going to be teaching. He wanted me to tell you he'll be in here, okay? All right. I was listening to him, because you never know what they're going to say. But anyway, let's close in a word of prayer. Britt Douglas, would you close us?